The Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why God made truth so difficult to find and yet at the same time told us that truth is important. In fact, we are told by God in the scriptures, if you take the scriptures seriously, we are told by God that if we reject the truth of Jesus Christ, God himself, God incarnate, God who took on the form of a man and visited the earth in the first century, that if we reject that truth, that we will end up spending an eternity separated from God. And thus teaching, severe as it is, was not invented by the church over the years, as is so often assumed. The teaching came from the lips of Jesus himself in the Gospel of John. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But you're thinking, Bob, there's so many other truth claims from so many other religions. How do we know which are actually true and which might be false? Well, my friend, we can start with the Greek philosopher Aristotle. He never read the Bible or talked about the Bible, but he gave us an excellent principle. It's taught commonly in philosophy classes. It's very foundational and basic for philosophy. It's called the law of non-contradiction. It says if we have two truth claims and they contradict, they cannot both be true. They may both be false, but if there's a contradiction, they cannot both be true. Now, if I were to pick another religion out of the hat, one that maybe you've heard of, Islam, for instance. Okay, I know that when we talk about Islam, we want to talk about jihad, but the Quran says a lot of other things besides jihad. The Quran, for example, teaches very clearly that Jesus did exist as a prophet, but that he was not God. However, this same Quran says quite clearly that the Bible is the word of God. It admits that the Bible was here first. Makes no bones about it, makes no claim to be an alternative to the Bible, instead claims to be a sequel to the Bible. And my friend, this same Bible that the Quran authenticates, this Bible teaches very clearly that Jesus is God, quotes Jesus claiming to be God. Now, you may or may not believe the Bible, and that's fine. You can believe whatever you want, but at the moment, we're just comparing the truth claims of the Bible and the Quran. They contradict. They couldn't possibly contradict more. They cannot both be true. They may both be false, hypothetically. As you know, I'm convinced the Bible is true. I give evidence every week that the Bible is true. But from your point of view, establishing this and venturing into this with an open mind, hypothetically, they may both be false. But on this one particular issue, you must concede it is the Quran that proves its falsehood in as much as it authenticates the same Bible that was here first and yet contradicts the very Bible it says is true. Now, that's just one example. I could do the same by comparing Christianity to Buddhism or Christianity to Hinduism. Meanwhile, moving away from religion for a moment, we get just as many contradictory truth claims today in the realm of politics. And boy, have we gotten a lot lately. Politics and the subject of truth and its love, hate, relationship with the news industry, and all of today's talk about fake news. Here to discuss the fake and the real is my real, not fake, my real, honest-to-goodness monthly co-host, Jim Barrier. Jim, welcome to our program.
Hey, Bob. It's great to be back with you. Great lead-in to what we hopefully will get some time to talk about tonight, about truth and non-truth and what in the world has happened to truth. But I have this bulletin just came in. This hasn't been reported on Fox or CNN or any of the media source.
Is this a real bulletin or something I might read in Mad Magazine? I'm just waiting here with bated breath.
Bob. No, this is
I can't see you, my friend, but if I could, I think I'd see a little curvature in your lip as a sardonic.
So.
Okay, go ahead.
Here's the flash. This is in from the politically correct police who are on a never-ending quest to remove offensive language from our culture, and we are no longer now allowed to say the term Big Brother. You know, from the 1984.
From 1984's Big Brother. Why? Because we're not being fair to Big Sisters, or because it's gender specific? Or?
Well, you're on the right track. We are now to use the term plus size sibling.
I remember that in 1984. You don't say good, better, best. You say good, plus good, double plus.
Yeah.
So you know what, though? And we've talked about this before, how magazines like Mad Magazine and The Onion, they can't say anything satirically anymore that's crazier than the real news. I remember, and this was back in the early 90s. This was a long time ago. Already then, they had, and this wasn't a joke, in political correctness, they were advertising certain kinds of condos. With sensitivity, they were saying you can't claim that it has an ocean view. You know why? Take a guess. And this wasn't The Onion. This was real. You can't claim ocean view. It discriminates against people that are blind and might not be able to see the ocean view. And them just reading.
Okay.
It's funny, Jim.
California thing.
We grow up and we see the faults in our parents and we say we're never going to be like them. I grew up in the 60s and my dad always had the news on. And he'd cuss in front of the TV and he'd talk back and he'd answer back. And at times he'd look like he wanted to throw things. And I would think, gosh, Dad, get a life. Just turn the news off. Lost in Space is on. You could watch a real TV show.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be like him. And yet now my wife can tell you I'm fixated upon Fox News. But I have an outlet my dad never had before. I can immediately tweet something. I can immediately write something on Facebook instead of just sparring with the TV. And my brother and I have often said that my dad would have been good to have his own radio show and to have an outlet. I think he would have done good in this meeting. So I am glad, very grateful before God that I at least have a platform and that I'm not just sitting there. But boy, the times are so crazy. There are times you want to do something. In that vein, you're so well versed in the arts. What is your opinion of Looney Tunes? Bugs Bunny, Yosemite Sam, Sylvester the Cat. Did you like those when you were a kid?
I loved the Looney Tunes, and there was a lot of stuff that was, you know, would today be politically incorrect.
Like all of it?
Yeah.
Well, there's violence.
There's
violence. Kids are going to think they're going to club. Well, it's funny. When I was a kid, I would watch these cartoons just for the story. As an adult, I don't find anything funnier than Foghorn Leghorn or Sylvester the Cat. And there's one cartoon in particular that you might remember where Sylvester the Cat was on a train being transported. And he was in one cage and there was always this big bulldog and he was in a cage next to him. The bulldog couldn't leave the cage and he starts barking at Sylvester and Sylvester picks up this big club and hits him with this, shut up. In fact, I can't do it justice. Let's hear from the real Sylvester. Go ahead. I listened to that, and I'm telling you, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And I'm very aware that this is a Christian show, and there's probably somebody out there thinking, Christians shouldn't say the word shut up. In fact, nobody should say the word. I actually never had a problem with that word, if it was appropriate, if you're listening to somebody who really should shut up. So I wanted to have some fun with you, my friend. As you know, okay. On the news, there are so many quotables. We got a few clips from things that were big in the news recently, and I want to give you a chance to comment. We'll comment a little bit, then we'll let them speak for themselves, and then we're going to let Sylvester chime in. I think it should be very therapeutic for anybody who's felt my dad, and they've wanted to yell shut up at the TV. Well, Sylvester will do it for you. The first one is Madonna. Did you hear the speech she gave the day after the inauguration at the Women's March?
Poor Madonna. She's never been the same after the lobotomy.
Well, you know what's so funny? And putting aside her comment about you know, I've often thought about blowing up the White House. And then she had to walk it back the next day. But uncharacteristically for her, this was a speech she had actually written, which meant she had to think about it. The concept of Madonna thinking about anything should give us pause. But I like to go back. Everyone's talking about the thing about the bombing. I like to go back to the fact that she was acting like the women in the United States didn't have any rights. And I'm thinking, if this protest was going on in Saudi Arabia, you'd all be arrested, and that would be the least that would happen to you. Can you imagine a protest like that in Afghanistan? I'm thinking, Madonna, you don't live better than 99% of the people of the world, do you? You don't live in a country where we have several Supreme Court justices that were women, a Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, that was a woman. We almost had a woman as a president. She was a crook, and we still didn't lock her up, but she was a woman. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It's as if, and yet there really are women being suppressed all over the world. And one of the few places in the world where it's not happening is the United States. That was what was so nutty about it.
You know, first of all, Madonna is typical of a cross section of our culture, and it's a slim minority of people in our culture, but because they've been elevated to celebrity status for whatever reason, whether they have talent or not, and then they think that qualifies them to speak as an authority on any subject. Now, if Madonna wants to talk about dance moves and risque wardrobe, she's got my ear.
She's talented. I saw the movie Evita. She was fantastic in that. But I feel like Laura Ingraham, who wrote the books, just shut up and sing, you know?
Well, and we've talked about it. It seems rampant these days. And there are some musicians, movie stars, Hollywood types, all that are conservative, but they're squeezed out of the picture.
Unless they have power. Tim Allen is an outspoken conservative, but he's rare.
Yeah.
And you got to hand it to him. Well, listen, we're doing Madonna such a disservice by putting words in her mouth. Let's hear from the real Madonna, and perhaps our pal Sylvester will chime in, too.
I hope so.
Okay, go ahead. Here's Madonna.
I said, are you ready? Say, yes, we're ready. Say, yes, we're ready.
We are individuals. We are individuals.
You're ready. Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I am outraged. Yes, I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House. But I know that this won't change anything. We cannot fall into despair. As the poet W.H. Auden once wrote on the eve of World War II, we must love one another or die. I choose love. Are you with me? Say this with me. We choose love.
We choose love.
We choose love. We choose love.
We choose love.
All right, so this leads me very beautifully into this song that I hope some of you know. Are you ready?
No.
Yeah? Please feel free to sing along.
No, please don't.
It'll keep you warm.
Shut up!
Boy, not a minute too soon. I was dying there.
Yeah, you know, that was kind of painful. We'll be a little briefer with some of the others. Please. Okay.
Please,
we'll be right back. My guests are Jim Barrier and Sylvester the Cat.
Thank you.
believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, co-hosting today my good friend, Jim Barrier.
Hey, what was that? A little James Bond music or something?
It was from His Majesty's Secret Service, one of the few times they didn't sing the main title, and also the distinction of the only James Bond with George Lazenby between Sean Connery and Roger Moore, although after that, Sean Connery came back and did one more, Diamonds Are Forever. I'm not even a big James Bond fan, and I'm still geeky enough to know all this trivia.
Oh, and I can tell you even more. I'll tell you why that movie flopped. It wasn't George Lazenby. It was Telly Savalas playing Blofeld, and it was very dated. It was very psychedelic, and so it didn't age well, because as soon as we moved out of the whole psychedelic thing and light shows and stuff, the movie was not relevant. So that's my take.
It was also kind of a serious one, because James Bond fell in love, got married. She died at the end of the movie, and it shows him sitting in his car crying at the end.
Yeah, I know. Bad move.
It actually did well at the box office, although some of the fans were probably crying that it wasn't Sean Connery. I didn't think the guy did that bad of a job, but you're right, very dated. And while they were showing the credits, while that music was playing, they were showing cuts from Goldfinger and Thunderball and Dr. No. They were trying to let you know, okay, y'all know it's not going to be Sean Connery, but it really is a James Bond movie. They were trying very, very hard.
Yeah. Well, I am a Bond freak, and Sean Connery is James Bond for me. And so we will move on.
He is my favorite James Bond. He's my favorite James Bond, but my favorite Sean Connery role was him in The Untouchables. He was fantastic in The Untouchables.
As the chief of
yes, he was great. Well, this next person that we're going to play a clip from, he was not a celebrity, is not. He's a newscaster from the very objective MSNBC, which loves to talk about how biased Fox is. Chris Matthews, infamous for the thrill up his leg when candidate Obama was speaking, his own words. Do you remember the words of Chris Matthews? He was talking right over and after the inauguration speech of Trump, when Trump called for unity and even called for racial unity, and Matthews called it Hitlerian. Do you remember that?
Sounds about right.
Sounds like something he would say. Well, let's let the man speak for himself. This is right after Donald Trump gives his speech saying, no matter what color you are, we all bleed the same blood and look up at the same sky. And somehow that's supposed to be confused with something Hitler would have said. Go ahead.
But I was thinking, when he said today, America first, it was not just the racial, I mean, the Hitlerian background to it, but it was the message. I kept thinking, what does Theresa May think of this morning when she picks up the papers and says, oh my God, what did he just say? He said America first. What happened to the special relationship? What if you're Putin? You're probably pounding the table saying, that's what I've been saying. Russia first. Yeah. Russia first. This old bullying message to him. And I wonder, you know, are people around the world are watching closely in those PDBs, and he got one this morning. What will be the reaction today? Well, will somebody do reaction. Something they weren't going to do yesterday?
Putin's reaction.
Ah, shut up!
I was just about to tell you to cue Sylvester.
I think we're on to something. Maybe we should just start this movement that the only person from Hollywood who's allowed to give political commentary is Sylvester, because he's the only one that seems to know what he's talking about.
Well, now, I would add one more, because my favorite Looney Tunes character was Marvin the Martian.
Oh, I love him.
And he always said, you make me very angry. I always loved that.
It's the Illudium Q36 exploding space modulator.
Okay. We have just drifted off into some strange place, Bob.
Well, let me just do two more strange ones, because I want to give Sylvester just a couple more chances. Charles Schumer.
Bring him in quicker. You need to bring Syl in. You need to bring him in quicker.
Okay. Do you remember Charles Schumer a couple of weeks ago when he was talking about the vetting of refugees from Muslim countries? Yeah. And he got so teary-eyed. I must say, it brought a tear to my own eye. Let's hear from good old Chuck. And, of course, the fact that he's Senate Minority Leader, that has nothing to do with this very genuine surge of heartfelt emotion. Let's go ahead and hear the clip.
This executive order.
You can't make this stuff up.
Mean-spirited and un-American.
He's moving me close to tears myself.
It was implemented in a way that created chaos and confusion across the country, and it will only serve to embolden and inspire those around the globe who will do us harm. It must be reversed immediately. Senate Democrats are going to introduce legislation to overturn this and move it as quickly as we can. And I, as your senator from New York, will claw, scrap, and fight with every fiber of my being
Sylvester.
Until these orders are
right. Ah,
he just can't do it. You know, now, Jim, correct me if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I missed something because I don't have the news on all the time. Do you recall Charles Schumer crying crocodile tears when 49 people were murdered in a Florida nightclub by a jihadist, or when 14 were murdered in San Bernardino, or where 13 were murdered at Fort Hood? I don't remember him crying over those situations.
No,
did I miss something?
He wasn't on call for that one. What I realize is you're doing these things. We not only have now Hollywood types that think they're politicians, now we've got politicians who are actors.
And we got, and they can't act as well as Madonna, who can't sound like a politician. It's kind of cyclical.
Yeah,
all right, I saved the best for last.
Okay, please.
The Speaker of the, former Speaker of the House, current House Minority Leader, Nancy Pelosi.
Now, this
was just in the news. I know, my friend.
I'm not going to let you
talk. Let's just get through Pelosi. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through Pelosi.
You
got to
help me.
You remember, this one was just a few days ago. Remember, well, of course, you've been following what's been happening to National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn and how he was let go by Trump.
Oh, boy.
So supposedly he tweeted that he was a scapegoat. Now, Elijah Cummings and Nancy Pelosi seized on that, because if he was a scapegoat, that would mean that Trump fired him to cover up something deeper. Well, it was found out even before they gave their speech that came from a Twitter account that was not his. It was false. And so we knew that even while Nancy Pelosi is giving us an explanation about what a scapegoat is. Let's listen. And it's very, very educational.
Scapegoat. You know what a scapegoat is? That means in a community where people want to absolve themselves of guilt, they get a goat and they heap all of the ills onto the goat, and then they run the goat out of town.
shut up.
He came in sooner for us.
Thank you for being prompt on that.
Okay.
I can't even listen to the woman's voice.
Right. Well, right now we'll let you listen to a commercial instead of her voice. We'll be right back. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay, Jim, just one more trip down memory lane with Nancy Pelosi, and then I promise we're all done with this. I can't resist back when Obamacare was passed and her famous, we've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it. She'll go down in history for that
one. I know. Yeah, this is.
Go ahead.
I know which quarter it is. Go ahead and do it.
We're very, you've heard about the controversies within the bill, the process about the bill. One of the items. But I don't know if you have heard that it is a legislation for the future, not just about health care for America, but about a healthier America, where preventive care is not something that you have to pay a deductible for or out of pocket, that prevention is about diet, not diabetes. It's going to be very, very exciting. But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it away from the fog of the controversy.
Ah, shut up!
Yeah, it was exciting, all right. And it did work out good for her, in as much as the people in Congress that passed that monster got to keep their health care. It was just the other part of the country that got screwed over.
You know, that has to be one of the all-time stupidest statements that an elected official has made. The only thing I can think of that was stupider was the guy who was afraid that Guam was going to tip over and capsize it for 2 minutes. You remember that one?
I do remember that one.
Yeah. And you think, these people got elected.
Can you imagine Thomas Jefferson or James Madison looking into the future and seeing this woman as the Speaker of the House? And so we got to find it, to find the surprise that's in it. So it was really like a Tootsie Roll Pop. We only knew the crunchy on the outside. We just have to wait for the chewy center.
You know, I think if any of the founding fathers were somehow through a time warp able to listen to your show, they'd say, I like that Sylvester guy.
They'd say, why didn't the Congress nominate Sylvester as Speaker of the House? Why wasn't Sylvester at the Women's March instead of Madonna?
Oh, man. Well, we're on, you know, a lot of these things tap into, a concern of mine that I wanted to touch on. And it's, you know, there are new terms now in our culture, new words in our language. We are now the post-fact or post-truth era.
Yeah, exactly. That's what postmodernism means. Yeah, it's that we don't have objective truth anymore.
There is no truth. And we, it's just crazy. You've talked quite a bit over the years. I know you've done some shows about Muslim religion and the Quran. You mentioned it tonight. And they have a teaching that basically says it's okay to lie. This is the Taqiyya law, or however it's said, that as long as you're promoting Islam, it's okay to lie to your enemies. It's okay to lie to get to further the cause. And I think we've got our own version of that going on now.
Well, and I've had two Muslim apologists on this radio show admit that openly on the air.
One
of them said, no, it's not okay to lie as a general rule. Only when you're at war. The $50 million question was, when are you guys not at war?
Yeah,
and he kind of hemmed and hawed. He didn't have a whole lot of answer for that.
Are we not in jihad right now?
And jihad can come in different stages. They are told that if they're in the minority of a population to act like they want things to be peaceful, and then if they ever can take over the majority of the country, then they should enact Sharia law. There are different levels of jihad. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't also a lot of westernized or from the East Muslims who maybe grew up in a Muslim family, are unaware of what their own Quran says. We meet Christians all the time, Jim, or professing Christians that haven't studied the Bible, but they still come out of some kind of Christian subculture or grew up.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying that every Muslim that you meet believes in jihad, but there are some who do believe in jihad and will claim that they don't, and you're absolutely right. They are told that they're allowed to lie. And it's Muhammad that said that. There's a quote of Muhammad in the Hadith saying exactly that. So this isn't politically correct, I know, but it is the truth.
And I think that the liberal side and the for the most part the liberal controlled media, you know, we have a new term, fake news. What's real? What's fake? Let me tell you a story. You know Gary Young. He's been on the show with us before.
He, from Resistance Radio.
That's right. During the election, or the campaign before Election Day, he was visiting with some relatives who were extremely liberal, and he pointed out some documented cases of Mrs. Clinton caught in a lie.
Mrs. Clinton lying?
And she's
See,
lying
it's
and,
not
and
true. Said,
and you know what the response was? And this guy, this particular individual, is a highly educated man. I've talked with him many times. I love him dearly. I respect him. He's a doctor. And he said, it doesn't matter if she lied. What matters is that she gets elected.
Well, that's the way people look. And we've got to be fair, because as you know, on this program, I've drawn a distinction between Trump realists, which I am, and Trump groupies that will defend him no matter whether he's right or wrong. And he has lied at times, too. But I'm not lying when I say we'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others sadly do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. Their ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church, Sunday morning services at 8:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m.
back to 1170. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier. Welcome back, Jim.
Thanks. Hey, sorry about that. I was listening to the music.
You were so enthralled with our music that you just forgot to jump in and get back to the serious fake news of the day.
Yeah.
We were about to get into fake news.
Fake news. And that's a new one because everybody's doing fake news. But the thing you talk about, Twitter accounts, somebody will send something out there and it's not even a reliable source. A news agency will jump on it and then start sending this story out, and they haven't even checked the resource. They haven't checked their facts, but it fits their agenda. So they start pushing this thing, and it's all a lie.
Do you remember the brilliant children's novel Charlotte's Web, where they were stuffing the pig just to turn him into bacon? So Charlotte the spider writes some pig in the tapestry of her web, and all of a sudden the pig becomes popular. And there's a wonderful line where the wife of the farmer says, well, it sounds to me that if a spider is intelligent enough to write something like that, then it must be some spider. He goes, no, Edith, it's the pig. The web even says so. And the idea was people will believe anything if it's put into writing.
Is that where we got the term spin?
It probably not, but it would fit. That would have been,
that
it certainly does work. Well, you know what's funny is, and I did mention before the break, there are some fibs that Trump's been caught in. They are a little bit different. He talks without a filter. He exaggerates. Then he thinks about what he said and he adjusted it. It is a little different from the very cold, calculated lies that Obama and Hillary told about health care, about Benghazi. But what's funny is it was the Democrats that were taking the term fake news and trying to send it out toward talk radio and Fox News.
Right.
Trump, being one of the first people to ever really fight back, went ahead and threw it back on them. And it came back to bite them. And now the term fake news is getting associated with CNN. And they've come out with about 20 major headlines just these last couple of weeks that really were, if they weren't absolutely fabricated by the news agencies, and I'll give them some benefit of the doubt, they at least were so anxious to chomp at the bit and go after Trump that they didn't check and validate their sources. So they absolutely deserve that.
This concerns me greatly because, to be fair, you are a media personality. You have a radio show, and people listen to your show. And Americans, by and large, kind of just believe whatever someone tells them. They don't check facts. Then if they do, they go to Snopes, and that's the worst fact check resource there is in the world. Snopes is so biased that they've been caught. Now.
Oh, I know. I've looked at things on Snopes, and I've said these guys don't know what they're talking about, and yet they're known as the authority.
And anytime somebody on Facebook or someplace says something and makes a reference to, they check it out on Snopes. I grab a little image and I put a picture there as a comment of the villain Snoke from The Force Awakens.
Well, you know, it's funny because we live in such interesting times. Because of the internet, we have information at our fingertips, stuff that I used to go into libraries and research for months to a year, I could find within seconds with a quick Google search. And that's a wonderful tool, but it's also a double-edged sword because for every website with information, there's one with disinformation. And sometimes the ones with the disinformation have the better graphics and they're more artistic and they look better. And people are taken in by that.
And there's an old cliche, and it was, do you remember an animated feature called The Point by Harry Nilsson about Oblio? And he went into the pointless forest, perhaps.
No, this one I have never heard of. I know Sylvester and Foghorn Leghorn, but I don't know this one.
You would love it. You would love it. And I think originally Dustin Hoffman did the narration and Harry Nilsson did the music. But it's a great story, but there's a line in there where one of the characters says, you see, the thing is, people see what they want to see and they hear what they want to hear. That was in the 70s when I heard it, and I thought, that is so true.
Yeah.
If there's a lie out there, but it fits, if it feels good, it fits, it makes you less uncomfortable with reality, then you just buy it hook, line, and sinker. And I think it's epidemic in our culture.
And I think you and I, my friend, are going to face a lot of this in the next 4 years because both of us ended up supporting Trump kicking and screaming.
I
viewed him as the lesser of two evils. Now, I will say I've been very impressed with him since he came in. He's actually keeping his promises, and he's appointed the right Supreme Court judge. I've been very impressed. But you remember, he was toward the bottom of the list of Republican candidates. I had Ben Carson on the top and Carly Fiorina, Ted Cruz third. However, it's kind of interesting because never mind the liberal. Yeah, the liberals, they don't want to hear any. Trump is Hitler. You're evil if you even support him. But amongst the wedge that this has driven with the conservatives, there are some of the conservative blogs that I write on now where they're all never Trumpers. And if I give the guy credit for one thing, they jump all over me. Meanwhile, I go to Facebook where the Trump supporters are. And if I criticize them for one thing, they jump all over me, even though these days I've been defending him about 90% of the time and criticizing him 10%. But it's like I said, there's the Trump realists who say, look, compared to Hillary, this guy's Mother Teresa, but he's a flawed candidate, and we're not going to defend everything that comes out of his mouth because the guy talks so much, sooner or later he says everything. But the Trump groupies do not want to hear that. And although Trump is, I think, a much better president in just his first few weeks than Obama was in 8 years, the people that followed Obama blindly are not that much different than the people that follow Trump blindly. No. And it does concern me.
It's the nature of things. And we have never been more divided. Thanks to 8 years of the most unifying president ever, the nation has never been more divided, maybe since the Civil War.
He took our rifts and he drove a train through them.
Yeah. Here's a question for you. A two-parter. I'll do a follow-up perhaps. But will they ever back off? Or are we going to have 4 years of this attack and assassination of character? Will they ever let up?
The Democratic politicians will not. As the economy gets better, and I believe it will get better, it's really hard to argue against a better economy. But we're going to start hearing the stories of the 10 people in the United States that the economy isn't going good for them. And I love the Democrats. When the Democrats win an election, the slogan is elections have consequences. Suck it up, Republicans. When the Republicans win, it's the American people want bipartisan. See, I can cry as good as Chuck Schumer. The American people want bipartisan. We may be the minority party, but you should listen to us. We should get to decide who's on the president's cabinet. It's insane. No, I don't think they'll ever give up. We'll be right back. Buying a home? Selling a home? It goes without saying that you need somebody experienced and skilled, but you also need a realtor you can trust, a man who will look out for your interests as if they were his own. This is Bob Siegel, here to steer you the right direction with just two words, Fred Valduti. Fred works with Realty Executives All Area, a company that has sold thousands of homes locally since 1994. Putting your home up for sale or selling a home can be stressful, filled with decisions you never anticipated. So put your mind at ease and call Fred Falduti. He sold my home for me at top price. Every step along the way, I benefited from his wisdom and a very generous usage of his time. By the way, Fred Falduti received the Executive of the Year Award for 2014. What? You say that was a couple of years ago? Listen, wise guy, do you want to mark the calendar or do you want somebody to sell your home for you? Whether buying or selling, the man you want is Fred Falduti with Realty Executives All Area, 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717 or fredfalduti.com.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My Kind of Book adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to our program. This is Bob Siegel and Jim Barrier. So, Jim, you're in the midst of a two-part question.
Well, and that is the Supreme Court justice nominee going to be approved? Is there any way they can stop it?
Well, no, they can't stop it because the Republicans can use the nuclear option if they want. And I think they should have done this 3 weeks ago. I am so tired of this that the president doesn't get his cabinet. The Republicans rolled over and played dead and went along with just about every single pick of Obama's. This is insane. I know that it always sounds good to be nice guys and have bipartisanship and reach across the aisle. One of the things that I did predict early on when we were in the primaries, I was thinking, you know, Trump wasn't my first choice, but I'm starting to think he's the only one that could win against the Clinton-Obama machine. And I was right. He is a fighter. I remember a line from one of my favorite movies, Mississippi Burning, where they were finally, the FBI was discussing the use of unorthodox tactics to get some confessions. And finally, there's a line where William Defoe, the nicer guy, says to Gene Hackman, the other agent, "Don't drag me into your gutter, Mr. Anderson." And he said, "These people crawled out of the sewer. Maybe the gutter is where we should be." That's about where I'm at with the Republic. There is such a thing as fighting against evil. I like the fact that Trump's a fighter. He talks without a filter. He doesn't sound presidential. But I'm so sick of, look at all the people that do. You know what being talking presidential means? It means you him and you haw and you don't really say anything. I don't care if somebody sounds presidential. I just want to see them get the job done. And so now I believe that the Supreme Court justice will get through. Will he be the conservative justice we want them to be? Well, they're not supposed to be liberal or conservative. They're just supposed to go by what the Constitution says. We have had so-called constructionist conservative Supreme Court justices in there who've disappointed us. So there's no guarantee what he'll do when he gets in. However, he certainly looks like as good of a pick and as close to Scalia as we could possibly get. So far, it looks good.
I like him. And the fact is, they're not supposed to be partisan or political or any of that, but they all are. There are liberal judges and there are conservative judges. And nobody seems to have trouble when you've got a Supreme Court justice who leans to the left on every single issue. And that's not partisanship, I guess. I don't know.
Oh, well, when Elena Kagan said, "I think a Latino woman will offer an insight that a white male can't," what the heck does that have to do with just reading what the Constitution actually says? This idea
that's a racist statement.
It's a racist statement and it's an unconstitutional statement. Now, technically, to defend the conservatives a little bit, technically, it's supposed to be a conservative tenet that we don't believe in conservative or liberal justices, but we do believe in people that'll just read the Constitution. And it's the conservatives that are claiming to be constitutional literalists, while the liberals are saying we believe in a living, breathing document. But the truth is, those that are politically conservative will take that position, and those that are liberal will not take that position. It shouldn't matter who's on the Supreme Court. I think we need a constitutional convention to revisit. We shouldn't even have to change it because the Constitution never gave the Supreme Court that much power anyway. But since nobody seems to know that, I think we need some kind of convention or something to say, hey, you can't have one branch of government overturn the laws of the other two, because that's not a check and balance system between three branches. Right. That is an unbalanced oligarchy.
Yeah. And, you know, the whole thing, the post-election chaos has been going on. By the way, I'd like to announce I am starting a new rock band called Social Tantrum. And,
I love that. Social Tantrum.
Yes, that's my new band.
Tell us where your first gig is. We want to come hear you play.
Well, it won't be in this country.
Do you mean in your country called Texas? I know it won't be in my country called California. But
you guys go ahead and secede. Let's see how that works out. By the way, I have a great plan that will make a lot of people happy. We can eliminate our debt to China. Just we're going to give them California. You guys, China's going to take California. We'll call it even. We don't owe them any more money. It's a win-win for everyone.
Jim, I got news for you. China doesn't want California. They may liberate Chinatown out of San Francisco, but I don't think they care about the life of the minnow and the things that are keeping Californians up at night. Although I'll say this, the minnow gets a lot of bad press because I would vote for that minnow to be our governor rather than Jerry Brown.
Well, and I would vote for the skipper and Gilligan.
Dana and I were talking about Gilligan's Island on the way over. She always liked that show. I always thought it was kind of stupid. But, boy, after hearing Madonna and Nancy Pelosi, there's nothing they did on Gilligan's Island that's stupider than that.
No. So here's the deal. It seems to me that many of my conservative and Republican friends were really more happy just that Hillary lost than they were that Trump won. And I think much of the anger and the rioting that the people that, you know, choose love, like Madonna said, and let's go burn a building.
For love and tolerance sake, let's go burn a building.
Yeah. They've made Trump the focal point, but really they're angry at Trump because he beat Hillary. And so, you know, somehow she's still, I think, the focal point.
It wasn't supposed to happen. She was coronated. Yeah. She was anointed. This was not supposed to happen. And they're in a tizzy and they do not know what to do about it.
And they'll have to get over it. But I was glad because I knew there would be immediately one Supreme Court justice appointment, and there might possibly be a couple more before 4 years is up, or maybe eight.
I'm praying for four of them to retire. And even Kennedy. Yeah. Kennedy, it just depends on what kind of mood he's in when he wakes up.
A bunch of octogenarians, which is nothing against old people, folks. But I'm just saying, you know, who knows how long they'll last. But
we should do away with this lifetime appointment stuff.
They really do. I was glad for that one reason, if no other reason. I was glad because I knew that Hillary couldn't make the Supreme Court appointment. And that was enough reason right there for me to be happy with the outcome.
And yet, look how many promises, you know, what's shocking and flabbergasting people is nobody has seen a politician keep so many promises so quickly. This guy's just going down the list. They're shocked that he's building a wall. Okay, maybe you don't believe in the wall, but he did promise that, and he is doing what he promised.
He is, and I personally like the appointments that he's been making. I love Mattis. I love that guy.
And I'm so happy that he put Ben Carson in charge of urban development, and yet he's supposed to be a racist. I mean, it's insane. We're out of time already. Sorry. I guess Sylvester and Pelosi and the others took up a little of our time today.
I love Sylvester.
Okay. Listen, we will have you back next month, and we'll leave Sylvester at home and give you a little more time. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Bob Siegel Show on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Bob Siegel.